segment is called Lawyer Up. Three legal stories for Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of the Two Guys Named Chris Show. You can find her, by the way, at lanierlawgroup.com. She's president there, and she's also on rock92.com. The keyword is Lisa. Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris Show. 6:47 now. Lisa Lanier for Lawyer Up. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great. I hope you guys are.
Doing very well. Hope you had a good Christmas and New Year.
It was fantastic. I think it was the best one ever. The kids are at the right age, you know, where they really, really got into it, and it was just a fantastic Christmas.
Well, great. Outstanding. Lisa wrote me an email yesterday that says a couple of things have come up with our Two Guys and Chris P1 listeners that they're asking you. When you see them in public, they're asking you a question that sort of took you by surprise. What's the question they ask often?
I keep getting this question lately about what am I wearing while we're doing these calls. It's a little off-putting. It's these guys, you know, that are they're thinking about the fact that it's kind of early, and I'm probably not in my, you know, my dress or skirt for the day or whatever.
So, right. Yes.
Yeah, well. And so, you know, then so I think I probably turned like 100 shades of red because really a lot of times I've just stepped out of the shower or I'm wearing pajamas or I've even done the calls naked a few times.
Oh, Lisa.
Oh, my God. Have you really?
As your attorney, I advise you not to answer the question.
I have. Yeah, so, you know, it's now I can be the not just the official attorney of the Two Guys Named Chris, but the official naked attorney.
Naked attorney.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
exactly.
I guess we'll have to lead every single one of these with what you're wearing. What are you wearing today?
Well, today I'm wearing, actually, because I'm kind of taking a day off with the kids today, so today I'm actually wearing pajamas. So.
Pajamas today. All right. We'll put that down for the first call of the year here and keep track of what you're wearing each time. Today, pajamas. So we have one pajamas so far this year. Just talked about a very interesting story, which we're putting in Lawyer Up here as a late edition. From Canada, a woman rented a car from an enterprise car rental agency. When she returned it, they were closed. It was a Sunday, so she dropped the keys in the lockbox, parked the car where it was supposed to be parked in the designated spot. Then, the next day, when they got to the office, they found the car had been stolen, even though the keys were still in the lockbox. So they say she's on the hook for the money. The insurance says, well, we won't pay because she returned the car. And they say they're going to charge her credit card with $47,000, which is what the car is worth. What happens in a situation like this, Lisa? When does your responsibility for the car stop?
Well, technically, they're closed on Sunday, and
right.
So they've allowed this kind of convenience box, and typically, the risk of loss here is controlled in that crazy long contract that you sign.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't read it. It's, you know, it's usually several pages. It's pink, yellow, and, you know, whatever, copies, and typically, it's going to put that responsibility, that risk of loss, on the customer. You know, this thing with the Dropbox is just for convenience. But there's certainly the risk there is typically in that contract shifted to the customer. And so she may very well have a great deal of difficulty. And her insurance that would typically cover this kind of loss is saying, you know, because it's no longer in her possession, that they shouldn't have to cover it. So I think she really needs to go after her insurance because I think under that contract she's going to lose.
Wow. Well, that does make some sense. I guess you take it, it's your own, you are in control of when you drop it off, and if you drop it off when they're closed, it's on you. Wow. That's because everybody does that, of course. I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the same is true if you go to your mechanic and you drop off, you know, on a Sunday and the car gets stolen. They're not responsible for that, and they usually have that posted somewhere that they're not responsible for vehicles left on the lot and that sort of thing because they really don't have control over that. You're kind of, it's a leap of faith that you're dropping that key in there and hoping that that vehicle doesn't get stolen.
Wow. That's a little bit surprising, but I guess when you examine it legally, that somebody's got to be responsible, and she is until they open back up. That's bad for her.
Is it possible, Lisa, that the police would get involved and look into this as a potential stolen car?
Right.
I mean,
well, apparently they have. From what I read about this story, apparently they've documented that it truly was a stolen car. But still, you know, sort of separate and apart from that, you have the issue of who bears that risk of loss.
Okay.
And it's
okay.
Her, not the car lot, but her.
Yeah.
And there's no video of, or is there video of somebody coming and stealing the car? You'd think that it would be all on video surveillance these days, wouldn't you?
You would think. Everybody has video surveillance. I don't know how the police determined it, but what I read said they definitely determined this is not like a fraud situation or something where the woman's trying to get one over on Enterprise. Now, the issue may become, like what you talked about, Kristen, if it was stolen and it's found, you know, then there's hopefully there's going to be some value still in the car, like it's not totaled or something.
But if it is, or if it's not found, she's on the hook for the car.
She's still on the hook for the car.
Which is bad luck. Well, you better think about that. And then next time you drop your keys off at someplace that's closed,
what
or
you gonna do?
Keep it till the next day. Keep it till the road.
But then you charge another day. That's why people return on Sundays.
Recovering against her insurance company, because really, technically, she was still the person in possession of the car, even though she had put it on their lot.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, they had not taken possession of the vehicle. So I think even though they can come after her, I think she can go back and go after her insurance.
Well, I hope she wins, because that is something that everybody does. Boy was stabbed by a syringe found in a sweatshirt he got for Christmas. He's 16 years old, lives in Washington State, undergoing multiple blood tests because he was stabbed by a syringe hidden inside the hoodie he got on Christmas Day, put his hands in the pockets, and suddenly was poked on the tip of his finger. There was blood on the syringe. So now, of course, he and his parents are very worried that he has some disease. He's being tested for all sorts of things, and the parents are like, this is a horrible feeling. Walmart says they take it very seriously, and they want to get a better idea of what could have happened. Our question was, can you go back and sue Walmart for selling a hoodie with a syringe inside?
Well, you know, the problem is, for this boy and his family, because I understand they're looking for a lawyer right now, but the problem is Walmart has to be negligent somehow in order for them to recover. And if some other shopper just randomly did this maliciously, but Walmart had no way to know about it, no reason to know about it, then the boy's going to come up short because there's not going to be any proof of negligence there. And it sounds like it's one of those weird, terrible, bad stuff happens kind of things, where I really don't think Walmart's responsible for it. I mean, there's no foreseeability here that Walmart would imagine somebody putting two dirty syringes in a hoodie.
There was blood on the tip.
Yeah, very nasty. Bloody syringes.
Blood on the tip.
Blood on the tip.
We discussed yesterday that that phrase has never been used when there's good news. Mm-mm. There was blood on the tip.
Never.
Congratulations, we found blood on the tip.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, no, that's never good.
That never is
and
good.
Apparently Walmart's taking it very seriously. They've gone through all the clothes, and you know, they're going back and reviewing surveillance tapes to try to see who did this and that sort of thing. But and it wouldn't surprise me if Walmart gave the family something, you know, some offered them something just out of a good customer service sort of practice. But if they go after them, if they sue them, where's the negligence? You know, it's just not. I don't see it.
No, I think you're right.
Hoodies for everybody.
Everybody gets a hoodie. That's about all.
No, thank you.
That's about all you can get. Yeah, I want my hoodie blood free if possible.
Actually bought a hoodie from Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have.
How's your finger?
I'm fine.
You all right? You okay? Not that Walmart.
Not that.
There's also a story out of New York today that three pedestrians have announced they are planning to sue something called City Bike after they've tripped over gray racks used to hold the bikes. I guess this is a type of thing where, and in large cities they do this, where you can rent a bike, ride it to the next destination, and then put it on the docking station. The docking stations are gray and blend in with the sidewalk. Three people have tripped and hurt themselves and say, we're suing City Bike for our hospital bills. Lisa, some negligence here because the bike rack is the same color as the sidewalk?
Yeah, there actually may be. That's why a lot of times when if you're in a place that has like a step down and it's the same color, they'll put some tape, like some colored tape on there, brightly colored, or they'll put a little sign, caution, step down, that kind of thing. Because it is pretty deceiving when people are walking along and something is the same color, but it changes, the depth changes. And so you often see recovery in that situation because the owner or the person in control of that premise is supposed to warn people of non-obvious dangers.
Yeah.
That's really the duty. And if it's a non-obvious danger because of the color, and apparently a lot of these folks I think are older people. I think there's some people in their 70s that have actually been hurt pretty significantly by this.
It's true.
Broken bones and that sort of thing, and it's happening a lot. So I think, you know, really this bike company needs to come in. All they have to do to avoid this is put up a little note or maybe some colored tape that says, you know, watch your step kind of thing, and then they're fine. Then they're negligence-free.
Just paint the racks, you know, paint them a neon green or something.
Yeah, so exactly. Paint them red or something.
One woman named LaShawn Shelton, she's 50. She's suing for $1 million. Said she hurt her knees, her left elbow, her back, and her neck after tripping over one of these bike racks. So that, I mean, City Bike has paid some medical bills, $500 here, $1,000 there. But she says, I want $1 million. Because I tripped over this thing and have been in pain ever since. You don't think she'll get that kind of money, do you?
No, not at all. No, she's taken it a little bit far. But some of the original complainants were, I think, you know, some senior citizens and stuff in their late 70s who really had some really significant injuries, and that they've already been paid. I think they've settled with a bunch of people.
Come on, LaShawn. This is like the person who had the back injury who we were talking about a minute ago.
A sore back from folding a table.
That's right.
Yes.
You're about those Walmart tables that are cutting people's fingers off.
Oh, yeah.
And this woman said, I've got a sore back.
My back hurts.
From folding my card
don't
table.
Don't want to hear it.
Don't do that. You're in the same boat, LaShawn. We don't even know about that. All right, Lisa Lanier, thank you, as always, for a good opening edition for 2014 of Lawyer Up. Three legal cases she gets to the bottom of, and she's wearing, if you're keeping track this year, pajamas here on day one. Thank you very much, Lisa, as always.
Absolutely. Have a great day.
You too. Bye. That's Lisa Lanier, our official attorney of the Two Guys Named Chris Show. You can get her at LanierLawGroup.com.